Daniel Day-Lewis, the actor from Lincoln, is also a favorite to win. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and so glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. Actually, we start today with a brand new week of broadcasting, and the slate is already filling up very, very quickly. And so we've got an interesting week of broadcasting scheduled for you. I'll give you the information about where we're going in the broadcast today here in just a moment. But let me say on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be joined by Thomas Kidd. He's written a number of interesting articles out of the UK and a couple of things that are taking place there. He is a history professor at Baylor University, and I'm going to be speaking with him for the first half of the Worldview Wednesday program tomorrow. He's doing some writing now for World Magazine, and so he's a writer, a reporter for them, as well as being a professor there at Baylor. So he writes from a unique perspective, and some of the issues that we'll be talking about tomorrow is are related to the issue of homosexuality and the evangelical church. There's some disturbing news on that front coming out of the UK. And we want to know, you know, is this a harbinger of things to come here in the United States as well? In the second half of the broadcast tomorrow, then, I'm going to be making some comments. I refer very often to a friend of mine and somebody that I consider to be very well-versed in this issue, and that's Joe Dallas. And so I'll be leaning heavy on some of the materials provided by Joe Dallas to address this issue again during the second half of the program tomorrow. On Thursday, I'm actually going to be out of the area here and out of the studio, but I'll be reporting live from the Ligonier Conference that will be taking place in Orlando, Florida on Thursday. So looking forward to getting together with the folks there. You'll hear during the program here today probably one of the final times that we'll be running the commercial for that. I've been advertising for that upcoming No Compromise Conference that's taking place there with Dr. R.C. Sproul and a number of other great speakers that are going to be there for the conference. So I'll be pulling somebody off to the side there and doing an interview with them and bringing you an update live from Orlando. And that's where we're going in Thursday's broadcast. On the broadcast today, we're going to be talking about an extremely important subject, and it's the subject of adoption, and even more specifically, international adoption. Now, if you have been paying attention to some of the news items related to this recently, or if you are interested in the topic of adoption, and so you've kind of had your finger on the pulse of what's been going on, especially with international adoption, you know that there's been some very disturbing news that has taken place specifically out of Russia and closing the doors to adoption and trying to kind of punish the United States for some of the things that we have done. And there's even some other later news that has come out just the last couple of days as well on that front. So that news has not been very good on the international adoption front, but that is just really a small portion of what is taking place. The reality is that this entire process of adopting children from overseas, this international adoption process, the system seems to be completely broken. It is not doing well for the children themselves that need to be adopted, and it is not doing well for the adoptive parents, those parents whose arms are and hearts are aching to adopt some of these children. It's long, it's tedious, It's expensive. There are a lot of elements involved in this. And so something needs to be done. And I'm happy to report today on the Knowing the Truth program that something is being done, and something quite powerful. What's taking place is that there is a new award-winning documentary film that has been produced by an organization called Both Ends Burning, and it uncovers the personal, real-life story of children and the parents navigating this roller coaster of bureaucracy that's taking place. And this film records their journey through the international adoption system. And each of these children that it covers in here, you know, it's a time that is filled with hope and elation on one side, but oftentimes an experience that is filled with a tremendous amount of heartbreak as well. Let me play for you the trailer for the documentary film Stuck. And now you really need to watch this trailer for yourself. So we're going to give you some information about where to go to find out information about this and where to watch it, because the audio doesn't do it justice. The images are very powerful, and there are words that appear on the screen as well while it's playing that, of course, you won't be able to see during the audio portion of it here today. But that being said, I think that there's enough in the audio here to give you a sense of what this particular award-winning documentary film is all about. Let's listen to this, and then we'll carry on with the broadcast today.
The current international adoption process takes nearly 3 years and costs around $28,000.
And the most frustrating part is that all of these kids have families. All of these kids have homes in the U.S., and they have for years.
I've applied like three different times for the same adoption.
It's been 3.5 years. No one has come for him. We are his only hope.
In the past 5 years, the number of children adopted into the U.S. has plummeted by 50%.
Millions of children are denied the opportunity to thrive.
My son has virtually no teeth on the top. They've all decayed because they're not getting proper nutrition.
The first time we entered an institution, we were speechless. Raising children almost the way you'd raise cattle.
The world has stopped paying attention, and it's failing.
We thought we were going to be one of those families stuck forever. And then in 2 or 3 days, our situation changed completely.
We made the request to the State Department to get those 3,000 children out of Haiti.
All the children in the middle of an adoption process were able to come home.
We saw Erickson being carried out, and we just ran.
We don't need earthquakes or tsunamis. There are millions of children in need, thousands dying every day. Why don't we do something about it?
We want each of these senators to know if we shut down international adoptions, what we are saying to the children is that they don't matter.
The right to a family is a basic human right. Our policies have to start recognizing that.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
We were toasting, and he said, to family. I was like, okay, I have to go somewhere and cry right now. It's too much.
Well, there you have it. That's the trailer for the documentary, a new award-winning documentary film entitled Stuck. You're going to get an opportunity to be able to see that documentary. I'm going to tell you about a tour that is taking place, a multiple city tour that is about to begin here in the beginning of March, and I'm going to tell you where you can see this for yourself nearby and give you all the details, so make sure you stay tuned throughout the broadcast today. On the program today, my guest is Craig Juntatin. I'm going to get it right. Juntatin, right? Juntatin. I'm sorry. Well, I mutilated it. Sorry. He can give you the correct pronunciation in just a second. But he is the founder and the president of Both Ends Burning Campaign and the executive producer of the documentary Stuck. Craig is also a child welfare advocate and a passionate believer in international adoption. He's also the author of Both Ends Burning, My Story of Adopting 3 Children from Haiti. So it's my pleasure here today to have Craig with us on the program. Craig, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for having me.
give me that proper pronunciation of your last name, if you would, please.
Sure, it's Juntinen.
Okay, there it is, the right way.
Right.
I do that quite often, so please don't be offended.
Not in the least.
Okay. Craig, tell us a little bit about, let's start with, you've got this book out by, you know, about the adopting yourself. Maybe to give us a little bit of background of your history and how you came to this, and then we can make a transition into what you're doing about this issue that you've been exposed to.
Well, it's a good lead-in because a lot of the work that we're currently doing and the Both Ends Burning Foundation and the film Stuck all generated from a reaction to my book. In 2006, my wife and I adopted three beautiful children from Haiti. And I was 51 years of age at the time. We had retired a few years earlier, and we were off living what we thought was the life, you know, this dream life, where we were playing golf and skiing and recreating. And that, by the way, Kevin, that was really great for about a year. And but then this whole notion of there has to be more to life than just golfing and skiing every day abruptly introduced itself. And I went to Haiti. I learned about Haiti, which was basically the polar opposite of the lifestyle we were enjoying. It was Haiti's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And I just wanted to go see it. I thought I'd be a better man for the experience. On that trip, I found an orphanage that was out of money. I came upon three beautiful children in that orphanage. Long story, but my wife and I adopted three of those children, and we took over that orphanage and started a foundation called Chances for Children, just to run that orphanage. And we really thought that that was going to be it for us. We thought we would produce adoptions and support this orphanage through our new foundation called Chances for Children. And we would raise our three children, and it would bring more meaning and substance to our life than the life of leisure that we were living. And but my golf buddies were so astounded, they said, you have to write a book about this experience. So in the early days of our children being home, I wrote a personal anecdote called Both Ends Burning, just to inspire others to, consider the possibility of adopting. And because it was not what we thought at the time. This was a kind of an abrupt detour from the course we had charted, the retirement life. And so people would read the book, and when I wrote the book, I was writing it mostly in the middle of the night, and I wrote it. And I kept saying to myself, because, I'd never written a book before, and I said, if this gets one more child adopted, it's worth the labor. And the book actually served its purpose. People would read the book and say, you know what, we hadn't considered it, but now that we see Craig's story, we might want to adopt too. And so they would call Chances for Children or other organizations, and guess what? They were not allowed to adopt. There were these rules and barriers, and they were either too young or too old, or they didn't have enough money, or they felt waiting 2.5 years was too long for them, or there was this litany of basic practical barriers that were prohibiting good people with a sincere interest in adopting one of these beautiful children. And I felt the fact that we're turning people away from this activity was a red flag. So I first became curious, and that curiosity led me to go out on a 24-month fact-finding mission. I commissioned a company to do a study. We did the first survey in 13 years on intercountry adoption. I went and talked to the State Department. I talked to UNICEF. I just really tried to do my homework, and my curiosity as this exploration journey continued, I went from curious to concerned, and the more I found out, I ultimately became outraged. And what created that outrage was the fact that we have millions of children who deserve a loving family. A right to a family is a basic human right for these children, and we have countless families that want to adopt those children but can't. And I thought a broken system and these arbitrary and discriminatory rules were a pitiful reason to keep kids out of a family. So I started the Both Ends Burning Foundation a few years ago, really to try to do two things. One, to try to create a global culture of adoption, and then two, support improvements to the adoption process. So as I looked at how other social movements and how social transformation had occurred in the past, I was encouraged to go out and make a film to create awareness, which is the critical first step. And by the way, our study told us that 75% of the U.S. population believes that intercountry adoption is on the rise, when in fact it's in freefall decline. Intercountry adoption into the U.S. and global statistics have declined every year for 8 straight years. Now, when something is eroding, when an activity is eroding or in decline, it's typically not a sequential decline. There's usually an uptick somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Intercountry adoption has not had that uptick. I mean, we've had 8 painful years of declines in the number of children who've been able to join a family, and that's not because there aren't families that want to adopt these kids, and it certainly isn't because there aren't children at risk and have a need for a family. And so our mission and our purpose is to make these children's lives a relevant social issue. So our government and other governments and other global leaders will be able to have the energy and commitment to solve this problem. Basically, what you have is we don't have there's plenty of children, there's plenty of families. What's in the middle is we have a process problem.
Hmm.
And the process problem is fixable. But we have to create the political and social will before we can get to a point of producing solutions. So that's the point of the tour and the film, and we want to expose the issue so we can become in a position to promote solutions.
I want to get to talking about that tour and the film specifically, but I'm just interested still in the study that you commissioned. Now, that was some interesting information that you gave us there about the study. I thoroughly agree that many people, if I were to take a microphone out on the street and ask people, do you think international adoption is growing currently, I think people would definitely respond in the affirmative. And I think in my listening audience among evangelicals, I think that the evangelical community would definitely be saying, oh, yes, international adoption is definitely on the uptick. So it's surprising and startling to hear you say that that is absolutely not the case. Were there other things in that study that that are critical to understanding what the current state is in the international adoption arena?
Well, you know, there were a variety of very interesting data points. But we measured our study from a study that was done by the Evan B. Donald Institute in 1997. And so one of the questions was, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of adoption? And in those 13 years, in that span of 13 years, the U.S. population increased to a favorable or very favorable by 13 points. So we went from 80% of having a favorable or very favorable impression of adoption to 94% having a very favorable. So we have a perception that adoption is a good thing. However, in that same period, we've seen this enormous erosion. So we have this interesting social dynamic occurring where you have people who, one, have a favorable reaction to adoption, two, believe adoption is growing and thriving, and the reality is it's not happening. The reason it is not happening, at least according to our survey, is most people said, yes, we would consider adopting, however, it costs too much and it takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
And as we point out in the trailer and in the film, the average adoption is takes about 28 months.
Mm-hmm.
Takes 33 months and costs about $28,000.
Wow. So it's cost prohibitive.
It's time consuming. And what's really critical about the time point, if we're really, as responsible adults, if we're really trying to consider what is in the best interest of a child, every day matters in the developmental cycle of a child. Mm-hmm. And to have an adoption process that languishes and labors and takes at least 33 months, those are days that child never gets back.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have this sense of urgency. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that I believe we can offer down the road an improvement in the system that is in the best interest of a child. We can create a more efficient system that has greater safeguards, because nobody ever wants to put a child in an at-risk situation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to put a birth mother in an at-risk situation. But what we haven't done is we haven't been able to really look at this process in entrepreneurial terms. We've been satisfied and accepting of a process that is wrought with bureaucratic terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're ultimately going to encourage, is let's find a better way. Think about this, Kevin. What if, our what if, is what if we could find a way to create an adoption process? Now, I gave you the 33 months and $28,000, but what if we could go from those two data points and create a process that, let's say, took 9 months and cost $7,000?
Mm-hmm.
How many more children do you think would find their way into a family?
Many more.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, we've done a really great job in our society with civil rights. And, you know, it was only 100 years ago, I think, women weren't allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we've women's rights and civil rights. But how are we doing on this, on the rights of a child? And I think we're failing. And that's the point of this film, is to elevate the fact that every child deserves a family.
Amen. I totally agree, and I highly recommend that people at least start by watching this trailer. As I mentioned when we played it, the audio is certainly powerful, but the imagery that's there is powerful as well. There's one particular scene that I wish folks would be able to get a look at. It basically shows a number of infants that are stacked on a cart. And the cart, I think, has three levels in a quick scene there. And the infants are right next to each other. So there's four or five in a row on these three stacks on a cart. And, you know, just being housed in these types of situations. There's an awful lot of bars on the windows, bars on the crib, you know, all of these things that appear throughout this documentary as well, at least the trailer portion of this. And so I wish people would go out and get a look at this. Let me give you the website for our listening audience where you can go out to take a look at this. It's out at a website called Both Ends Burning. So that's www.bothendsburning.org. And you can go out to that website and find out all the information that we're talking about today here on the broadcast. Now, there's information about the book that we were talking about, first and foremost. You can find out about Craig's book there. You can find out about the mission statement of this organization and what they're trying to accomplish. You can get involved. That's going to be a very important piece, and we're going to give you some more information about how to do that in the second half of the program. Then there's also a media button there that you can go look under that as well to get some information. The movie, information about the movie is there, and then how you can actually become a member of this movement as well. We're going to give you a lot more information during the second half of the broadcast. I'll give you some information about how you can participate in the program today here as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break. In fact, just before we go to break, let me give you a couple of ways that you can participate in the program today. One, we've set up a toll-free number. It's good nationwide, so if you're listening online or through the airwaves here, you can participate. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, I'll have my email up and running. The email is very simply just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
How do we push back against increasing federal abuses of power? On the next Janet Mefford Show, Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli will be with me to talk about it. His book is called The Last Line of Defense. And how do we deal with the problem of idolatry in our lives? Pastor Kyle Eidelman will be with us, and we'll talk about his new book called Gods at War. That and a whole lot more. Join us for the very next Janet Mefford Show.
Today at 3 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Since the revolution of the 1960s, the moral revolution, we have two nations of people trying to live side by side with radically opposing sets of values and belief systems. The Apostle Paul tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and forces and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle that requires spiritual arms and equipment to be engaged in it. In a few months, we're going to be gathering together thousands of Christians in Orlando. And the title of this coming conference is No Compromise. And we have a marvelous cast of speakers assembled for this event. We have Sinclair Ferguson, we have Dr. Bob Godfrey, we have Steve Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr., Alistair Begg, and Ravi Zacharias, and even Cal Thomas. And so I urge you to come and stand with us and stand together, bearing witness to the kingdom of God.
My grandma does this thing when she hugs me. She gives me an extra squeeze. She's telling me that I matter, that the moment is important, because some moments are tough. She nearly lost her husband this year to a stroke. She didn't go through it alone. The prayers of family, friends, and even strangers gave her courage, serenity, and strength.
We want everyone to have that kind of support. Pray America is a movement of people supporting each other by believing with each other. Visit PrayAmerica.com to post your prayers and pray it forward. PrayAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're speaking with Craig Juntinen about Stuck, the new award-winning documentary film. It's produced by Both Ends Burning. And it really, the filmmaker, let me put it this way, he tracks the chapters of the lives of four children and three couples that are seeking to be their parents. And along the way, it's very revealing. It reveals along the way the intense hope and the disappointment that they experience in this odyssey that they go through in order to unite these families, these children with these families. Now, some of the stories that are covered in that documentary, they're heartwarming. They show this incredible example of kids who blossom after joining up with these families, while others offer insight into the emotional and the physical impact institutional life can have on these kids. And so that's really the sad side of this story. The good news of this story is that this is a problem that can be fixed. There's something that can be done here. This isn't just, you know, some hopeless issue that there's nothing that we can do about this issue. There is something that can be done, and there is something being done, and you can be involved in it. That's the good news of the program here today. You can get involved. And for the folks listening, our regular listeners in the evangelical world, let me say that we should be involved, that the whole concept of theological adoption, that God has adopted us into his family through the person and work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, gives us an additional impetus to be involved in physical adoption as well. Whether that means that we actually adopt, that's one thing. That could certainly be a way of making application to that. But whether we adopt in and of ourselves, we certainly cannot turn a blind eye to this issue. We have to be involved. The impetus there in the gospel commands us to be involved in this particular issue. Well, here's a great way for you to be involved. There's other ways that I'm going to be talking about throughout this year on the broadcast. I'll be doing some work along with the folks over there at Together for Adoption, Dan Kruver, and the great work that he's doing. By the way, Dan has also done an interview with Craig, and it's a video that you can watch on Dan's website. And so you can go out to Together for Adoption. I think it's .org. I'll confirm that here in just a minute. But you can go out to Dan's website. Just Google Together for Adoption. It'll take you to Dan Kruver's website there and the work that they're doing with that organization. And right on the homepage, you can actually watch an interview that Dan did with Craig as well. And so you can enjoy that. There's a tour coming up. I'm going to let Craig tell us now about the idea of the documentary and the upcoming tour so that we can get all the information about this important subject. Craig, please give us some information about the documentary and then what's taking place and where this tour is going to go.
Well, the film stuff took us 2.5 years to make. Filmed in a variety of countries, probably in 30 orphanages. It was a heart-wrenching experience to go out onto the road and make this film. Ultimately, what we tried to produce was not a news piece, but instead a love story, because I firmly believe that love grows kids. Mm. And the painful part of this entire process for me was when I was at home, I could see our three children that came home from Haiti at 5 years, 4 years, and 9 months of age, and I could see how they were thriving, and they were having breakthroughs, and they were having friends, and they were experiencing a childhood. And then when I would go into these orphanages, for our filming experience, and as we were making the movie, you just saw the heartbreak of the other side. So The inspiration behind the film was our three children and seeing how they were thriving and just, you know, the magical potential that each one of them has. And then on the other side is this eclipse of human potential that you find when you walk into these orphanages all over the world. Governments and political leaders typically react. They don't, they react to their constituents. And what is a clear conclusion is that right now, we have other priorities other than these children who are being today condemned to spend their childhood in an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And so what the idea was is once we made the film is to somehow make sure that the film was noticed and it really served our purpose to help grow a movement in the same energy that other social movements have done to really produce social transformation. So we were very, very lucky once the film was made, we did very well at the Heartland Film Festival. We won the Audience Choice Award. We were lucky enough to have get a distribution deal with Samuel Goldwyn Films, which is an iconic Hollywood force. And through that partnership, we came up with a very unique distribution approach, which is a really old-fashioned barnstorming tour to create this grassroots energy so that we can get our leaders' attention and get them to react so that these children's lives do, in fact, become a priority and we figure out better ways to get them into a family. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go out. We start March 1st in Richmond, Virginia, and we tour the country. We're in 60 cities in 78 days. Along the way, we have some it's more than just a film premiere. We'll premiere the film at 7 p.m. every night. But throughout the course of the day, we will also engage in, you know, community bonding experiences, again, to really promote this idea that a child deserves to be in a family and the significance of family in our culture and the significance of a family to a child. One of our, I think, more meaningful experiences is going to be the party right before the film, which will be at a restaurant adjacent to the theater. We're going to have the celebration of family event, and we're encouraging all families to come out, irrespective of how they were formed. And we have a photojournalist, an international photojournalist, who's traveling with us. She's going to take complimentary family portraits for everybody who shows up to this event. And the celebration of family event is just what it says. We're celebrating family. And then we're going to walk over to the theater and watch the film. And the film then really exposes some real tragic circumstances why children are being denied the very thing we just celebrated an hour and a half at the restaurant next to the theater. And, you know, our talking point really will be, you know, that there's a lot of ways that a child should be included in a family, whether that's family reunification, foster care, domestic adoption, international adoption. We're really promoting the rights of a child to belong in a family, and we're hoping that all boats rise. Our story in the film is about the crisis in intercountry adoption, and our initial thrust is to find ways to make the process more efficient, with greater safeguards, so more children ultimately do have a family, and that's the outcome we're seeking. But ultimately along the way, we are expecting to create an energy where we highlight and accentuate the value of family in our culture and the significance of family to a child.
Hmm. I understand at the end of the tour, then, you're going to make some sort of a presentation to Congress. And
well, yes, it's along the way, again, going back to my comment that governments and political leaders react.
Yes.
And so we're trying to get a reaction for them to go to seek improvements in this process with the outcome being more children having the right to a family. So along the tour, we're going to gather hopefully 1 million signatures, maybe more, we hope. And then as we go across the country and our petition is being signed and we get enough people, this collective energy behind us where we're basically saying enough is enough, we demand change, we'll deliver that petition on May 17th in the Step Forward for Orphans March, 2 p.m. On May 17th, and then we're going to deliver that petition to every member of Congress, and that will be the symbolic first step to really try to make sure that as a society, we're no longer going to accept something that is so unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on the website that one senator in particular has played a role in this already, and that's a United States senator from the state of Louisiana, Mary Landrieu, right?
Senator Landrieu is in the film. She has been a tireless advocate for the rights of a child to belong in a family, she's a great voice for adoption, and she's, in fact, we're having a kickoff press conference on the 28th of February, just to kind of kick off the tour, and she's going to give the opening remarks. And what we're hoping that the tour produces is this collective energy so that other leaders like Mary will join forces with Mary to produce some new legislation so we can take a critical first step in the way the U.S. processes and manages adoption. It won't be the entire game changer, but if we can get the U.S. government to take action, it's a really critical first step, and it's a tangible step so that the rest of the world could fall in lockstep, and then we could begin to create the process of overall reform.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna knock this wall down, Kevin, with one swing of the bat. This is gonna take a methodical, long-term approach, but it starts with this sense of awareness, and you have to understand, I'm here because I had one conversation with an acquaintance on a golf course who introduced me to Haiti. And I had never been to Haiti, and I went to Haiti, and that experience brought me to the point where I said, I'm going to do something about it. I just, you know, there comes a time in your life when you come across something that's wrong, and you either find a way to rationalize it and accept that wrong, or you stand tall and you try to fight it. Well, that's what we're trying to do, and we're hoping that's what the film does, is create this sense of awareness where we no longer are willing to rationalize and accept the wrong. And the way we'll create a new way and reinvent this process so we get the outcome of kids and families is by having this energy and this petition. If we get 1 million signatures by May 17th, we've made a very, very bold and powerful statement as a critical first step. It's not the end of the game, but it's a but it's a really good beginning.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're speaking about elected officials being involved and the hope to get more of them involved as well. Right here in the state of South Carolina, I know of two that that are very passionate about this issue. Former Senator Jim DeMint was just held, was involved in an adoption conference that took place here locally, and Senator DeMint has been a strong advocate for adoption as well. And then I had the governor in the studio here with me, and I remember specifically as we were talking about pro-life issues that she said that she was a very strong advocate for adoption. If I remember right, I think her husband was adopted, and so this is the reason why she is so passionate about that issue. That said, for the folks here in the upstate of South Carolina, there will be a few showings throughout South Carolina, but the closest one for the folks where we're broadcasting from here out of Greenville, South Carolina, the closest showing of the documentary so far is listed as being in Charlotte, North Carolina. That will be on Sunday, March 3rd, and that's in Charlotte, North Carolina at North Lake Mall 14. And so you can get information about that. You can actually buy the tickets for the STUC tour right out on that website that I gave you. I'll give it to you again here. That website is www.bothendsburning.org. That's bothendsburning.org. And if you go out there, as I mentioned, there's a lot of information for you out there when you go to that site in order to find out more about what you can do. Craig, we've been talking about getting involved. Obviously, people can get involved by coming to the tour. Are there other ways for people to get involved?
Well, you know, I think if you look at how other organizations have produced social transformation, it starts basically at the community level and community conversations. And so what we're encouraging people to do is to start making this idea of a child and their right to belong in a family a relevant social issue. So we would encourage churches and PTAs, and let's start getting involved in programs where we're elevating this. And, you know, the film, you know, we're in 60 cities. We're creating these community bonding experiences as we tour the country. We're trying to get our petition signed. All of those things are practical ways for people to get involved. We're also going to, you know, the film will be available for download and DVD. We're also hoping that as the tour progresses and we get this energy and this momentum behind this issue, is that people would like to have a private showing, and so we have a private license program that people would be able to show it at their church or at their community center or at a university. Again, this is a silent social tragedy, and the tragedy can be fixed once it is no longer silent. Mm-hmm. And so the conversation and the general spread of awareness about this issue, I'm very optimistic will have the same kind of effect that it had on me. I learned about something, it was wrong, and I just decided to try to do something to make it right. And I don't think I'm unique in any sense. I think that my reaction to get involved and to be a voice for these kids is how I'm hopeful that most of us are going to react. Mm-hmm. And that's how, I mean, that's how it happens, Kevin. It's one voice leads to another voice, and next thing you know, you have a revolution in thought and spirit. Mm-hmm. And we just have to make these kids matter. That's the fact of it. And so what I would encourage the listeners to do is go to our site, sign our petition, try to come out to these screenings, try to bring your family out to the celebrate family events prior to the screenings. If you can't make it on March 1st, you'll be able to go to the STUC store or the STUC webpage and buy the download, buy the DVD, share it with your friends. That's, you know, the one good thing we have, Kevin, is this issue is really rooted in common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's irrefutable. I mean, everybody believes that a child should belong in a family, and a child is far better off in a family than they are in the alternative of growing up in an orphanage.
Yes.
But most people don't know this is an issue, And so that's how we can all band together to elevate this issue, and then I believe we'll get the right kind of energy and support behind it so that others like Senator Landrieu will take the lead to really find ways to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. And I think what is important for people to know is that this can be fixed. We're talking about, first of all, having a sense of urgency, and we're talking about making a system that is currently broken more efficient. Those are things we can do. I mean, there's ways that we can approach this if we can bring the issue to bear, if people will take notice of what's taking place. That said, Craig, let me ask you a couple of questions. One is one country better for adoption right now than another? We hear, the terrible news coming out of Russia, so obviously that seems to be very problematic. But what would you encourage people that are interested in adoption? Is there a certain country that you would currently point them towards to say, well, the system is better with this country than other countries in the list?
Well, a good spot for people to go is that you could go to the State Department website, which shows all of the countries that do offer adoption through inter-country process. And, this is an individual choice. And, everybody's going to form their family based on their individual choices. There are some countries who do the process a little bit more efficiently, and there are some countries that, are struggling. But interestingly enough, I had a consulting firm do some research on this, and we basically, and this is an unscientific analysis, but it still, I think, makes the point. And I'll go back to the data point that the average inter-country adoption takes 33 months. Mm-hmm. And so I had this consulting firm break the process down into five different segments, let's say five silos. And so in those silos, what they did was they took the best practices currently available from various countries and align them with their five silos.
Hmm.
So we said, who does the first silo best? Well, that was Korea. Who does the second silo best? Well, that is Cambodia. I'm using these as hypothetical examples. But the point is once we found those best practices for those five different silos, we ultimately weaved together a process that took, now listen to this, 9 months.
Hmm.
So we already know how to do this. We just haven't put the resources and the energy into creating, this cross-border knowledge sharing.
Right.
I think one of the real key steps is after we get this movement started, and this movement is going to look like hopefully lots of other successful movements where people come together and say enough is enough and let's demand change. But ultimately, then, once we get some sort of reaction by the U.S. government, we start going into other countries, and if we could be facilitating cross-border knowledge sharing, what is working, what are our best practices, what are our best opportunities for improvement, I really believe that, finding a new and better way is well within our reach. We just have to be communicating.
Mm-hmm. Let me, in the closing minutes of the interview today, Craig, let me give you an opportunity to speak directly to those in our listening audience that may be in the process of adoption. And as we talked about, the process is typically very long and very expensive. We described it in the opening segment here as a roller coaster of emotions. There's ups and downs. We're talking about, just how detrimental institutional care can be for the child. So the child that they originally saw in the beginning of the process has now been in that institution typically for a number of months, as we're talking up to 33 months in that process. So speak to them about, what would you say to them? Let me just give you a blank check there.
I think that's a great point. And when we started our adoption process and the agency came out to do the home study, what we were told was, well, inter-country adoption is not for the faint of heart. And, by the way, I think that's an accurate statement, and they were forthcoming in telling us the truth. But those are the wrong things we should be telling prospective parents. We should be encouraging parents to engage in this process, and it shouldn't be this laborious task. I mean, finding ways to identify and create eligibility for both the parent or the family and for the child, that's what's at the heart of this issue. What I will tell anybody who's going through a process, and most likely you're frustrated and you're discouraged and you're getting worn out, what I'll tell you is don't give up hope. Don't quit on these kids, because every day our three children, and I live this as their dad, but I see how they have this magic potential, and that magic potential is being exposed and nurtured and fostered simply because they have the benefit of growing up in a loving family. Our oldest boy was the MVP of his Pee Wee Football League. Our daughter is a fabulous artist, and my 7-year-old told me the other day he wants to grow up and be an actor. So they now have dreams, and I think all kids should have a dream. And so what I would tell any of the listeners who are going through this process, you've probably gotten to these points of utter frustration and you feel like quitting, and if you do feel like quitting, don't. Because when your child does come home, it will be one of the most magical, enriching experiences you've ever had. We didn't get into the detail, but my book chronicles the fact that, you know, we didn't have children until I was 51 years of age, and I really thought that that wasn't necessarily, you know, my lifestyle. I thought maybe I wasn't going to ever be a father. And then I did have this beautiful blessing to become a father at 51 years of age, and it's been wonderful. And so that's why this issue is so relevant and matters so much, is I see the successes that are happening at home. And that's what we really wanted to point out with the film, is ultimately we see how these families have to endure this timeline and this frustration of this lengthy process. But ultimately, these are love stories, and love stories may be of the greatest kind. And so that's what I would tell your listeners, is just, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be discouraged, you're going to feel like pulling your hair out, and we're trying to fix that. So families in the years ahead won't necessarily have the kind of pain that you had.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give up on your kids.
Amen.
They'll be home soon.
Well, that's a great spot to leave the broadcast today.
Right.
Craig, thank you so much.
I hope I get to see you, Kevin, if you get a chance. I know you're a busy man, but I'd love to have you out and maybe get acquainted with you, and I'd love to share with you the film and our dream for more children to belong in a family, and thank you for letting me share that dream with your listeners. And I think it's just so fitting that Knowing the Truth, which is what the film is really all about, we're trying to expose the truth, that we had an opportunity to connect today.
Well, great. Craig, thank you. I know you're very busy, especially during this time with the launch of this and with the book being out as well, but thank you for a couple of things. Thank you for pulling this together and the bringing your entrepreneurial spirit to this particular issue, and you obviously have great skills business-wise as well. I can hear in the terminology that you use. So we thank you for being involved from that level to try to fix this process, and thank you so much then for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, it was a privilege, and I hope to see you soon, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Again, that was Craig Juntington. And he is the executive director of the organization that we've been talking about today. That organization is called Both Ends Burning. You can go out to their website to find out all the information that we were talking about today. There is a showing coming up in Charlotte on March 3rd, Sunday, March 3rd. You'll see that out on the website. You can get tickets for that. The website, again, is www.bothendsburning.org. That's bothendsburning.org. I also mentioned during the broadcast Together for Adoption. Their website is www.togetherforadoption.org. Dan has posted out there on the homepage an interview that he did with Craig. It was a video interview, so you can see that as well. And he does have loaded out there the trailer that we played today as well. So you can go out to that website, Together for Adoption. to find out more. TogetherForAdoption.org. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We shall see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.